Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bottoming, the LGBTQ mental health podcast about rock bottoming and beyond. Kindly sponsored by Joe Malone London.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at bottomingpod or visit bottomingpodcast.com for more content relating to each episode.
We've also added a support page to the website to direct you to the right place if you're struggling or need someone to talk to.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts. Hi, I'm Brendan.
And I am Matthew, and our pronouns are he and him.
It's March.
It's March. Happy March.
I saw Easter eggs in the Tesco the other day.
Oh, yes. It's like jam.
I'm not ready for last Easter, never mind this Easter.
We hope you had a gorgeous LGBTQ History Month.
Yeah.
And it was packed with fun LGBTQ things.
And history.
And history. Because that's what it's made for.
Yeah.
So this week we're speaking to Ryan Lange, who some of you may know from Netflix's Big Flower Fight. You may know him from Instagram and for setting up Not Dead Yet. He has done a range of different things, and he's also got a new series coming out on BBC Three very, very soon as well. So we just chat to him about just a portion of the work that he's done, because he has got his fingers in many pies.
Ew. An exciting thing before we get into the old chit chat. Mm-hmm. Listeners, you might have seen, if you follow us on Instagram, we were on BBC Radio 4 Extra mm-hmm. on Friday mm-hmm. on their podcast Radio Hour. Mm-hmm. We're interviewed by Chris and Shivani and chatted about all things bottoming.
Mm-hmm. If you've been listening to our History Month series, you will have heard us speak to Shivani in our first episode of the month. So it was nice to be in the hot seat this time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it made it a lot easier to speak to them in that way mm-hmm. rather than it just being like in raw with people you don't know asking these questions, because we spoke about how the podcast came about, a few of the bits mm-hmm. and so I think stuff that we've never even thought about before, we've not considered, but we had a great time speaking to both Chris and Shivani. So you can go back and listen to that on BBC Sounds on the app. Or if you just search for BBC Podcast Hour, it should come up. It's on BBC Radio 4 Extra. But thank you so much for having us.
So how are you?
I'm good. Me and Sam went back to Liverpool for the last few days. Me met my grandparents, which was lovely. We all had a roast. Aww. On Sunday. We've just managed to avoid, what was it, Storm Eunice and then Storm
Franklin.
Franklin afterwards, so... it was very, very windy, but mm-hmm. we had a really lovely time. And guess who bumped into in the Albert Dock?
I have no clue.
We bumped into Sister, one of our previous guests and Drag Race icon. But yeah, we ended up going back and just having a few drinks, and it was lovely. It was really, really nice, because we've obviously only met virtually.
Yeah.
So that was fun and a completely unplanned thing because we were just having an easy trip to Liverpool after the chaos of the last few weeks. So, yeah.
I mean, it sounded like it was still
it was still quite chaotic.
Are you going to tell them what you told me?
I was really quite ill yesterday, I'll be honest. You may be able to hear the voice. It's because it's still quite tender. I drank too much red wine.
And
buckets of red wine. And I was sick, which I have not done for a long time.
In the
hotel room. It was a mess, and that's all I'm going to say.
Jesus.
Okay. So how are you doing?
I'm really well, thank you. Friday, I handed in my second test for uni, which I was relieved about. Shouldn't get the marks for another couple of weeks, but I'm very excited to have handed that in.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Thank you. And then on Saturday, I went to the Barbican for a little cultural day, and I saw this new film called Flea.
Oh, yeah.
And it is breathtakingly beautiful. It's an animated documentary about this guy who travelled from Afghanistan via Moscow, where he never spoke about any of his past to anyone that he knew. He told all his loved, well, all the people that he knows now that his family are dead and stuff like that, because that's the story his trafficker had told him to tell so that no one ever came for his family. And it's basically just his journey from where he was born in Afghanistan in the 80s and to where he is now. And it's just really beautifully animated. Mm. And obviously, because it's a true story and you're listening to the words that he's saying for the first time, he's never said them before. Mm. It's just really powerful. And he is a gay man as well. But the sexuality side of it isn't really touched upon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like scattered throughout. But then there's this really beautiful moment at the end, which I won't tell you, but it's just like makes you feel really warm after everything that he's been through. Oh. That this is like I don't know, some sort of essence of joy from it. So yeah, it's really lovely. Really beautiful. So that's called Flea.
That was not a paid advertisement, was it?
That wasn't paid,
because that was beautiful.
Was
yeah.
it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I know we sometimes say that we've, you know, had an interview stored away for a couple of months and then we release it and then, you know, whatever. But we are not exaggerating when we say that this has been stored away since last summer.
Seasons ago.
Seasons. Yeah, we had the pleasure of interviewing Ryan last September.
Cast your mind back. It was about 49 degrees in London. It was very hot.
We were dripping.
Yeah.
Actually dripping.
It was so warm. I know that feels like a distant memory right now.
Mm-hmm.
Fever dream.
Yeah.
But that's how long ago it was. So it was really lovely to hear about a ton of the work that Ryan's done, especially the work with NDY Global, which you can find on Instagram, as well as get a little peek and preview into the new BBC Three series coming out. So yeah, here's Ryan.
My name is Ryan Lange. I am a cultural producer, fashion and art curator, and TV presenter. Overall personality and legendary icon and inspiration. And my pronouns are he and him.
So we best know you from NDY Global, a platform you began during the pandemic. For those who aren't aware, can you describe the types of things NDY offers?
Yeah, NDY is a collective that started over lockdown. It started to provide free online classes via Zoom to the queer community held by queer people of color who were trained coaches, because we realized that people in lockdown had no access to gyms and they were disproportionately affected by COVID. So we just started an Instagram page and just said this class is happening every day for the next 6 weeks. And I think we ended up having over 2,000 people around the world tuning in. We did interesting things like put our pronouns in the Zoom classes. We degendered the fitness experience. We also created accessibility permutations that haven't normally been existing in the past. So, for example, we had a introduction to weights class at home with any object, and it was also hosted and held in British Sign Language. Mm-hmm. So we were bringing together the community in a way that we'd never seen before. So it was beautiful. Lockdown finished, and we decided that what we'd do is start taking queer club nights that exist in East London, because we realized that during lockdown that there wasn't anything to do during the day. That's the only time that we could be out. Mm-hmm. And everyone was just walking around in parks, and people were going to their secret raves. I know everyone went to one. And I was like, really taking stock of how little queer day life options there are. Mm-hmm. Pre-COVID, you'd go to an art gallery, you'd go to a friend's opening, you go to life drawing, but that's not what the queer community is all about. Mm. And so I was like, why aren't we nourishing the queer community? Why aren't we like giving them fitness options? And it's because of all of the roadblocks and obstacles that exist in gym spaces. So NDY was like, let's take the queer club nights that have created intentional spaces, take their ethos and their music and put them in mm-hmm. premium gym spaces and allow access to anyone who's queer, of color, non-binary or trans. Mm-hmm. And that's NDY.
Has wellness always been a focus for you personally?
I had a point in my London life where I met someone who allowed me to sustain my passion and creativity by working in a gym. And her name is Margaret Pope, and she is an extremely talented celebrity personal trainer. But she's not just that. She really teaches you how to understand your vessel, to understand where discipline, courage, strength, and bravery comes from when you're training. Mm. And she let me train with her and let me work with her. And it was during that time that I met all of her coaches and all of the people that she's brought into her community, which is now called CrossFit Shoreditch in Rivington Street in East London. She made me well. She made me agile mentally, physically. She made me able to understand my demons and darkness on and off the mat. And after leaving that, I was like going through lockdown and I was like, wow, I can go for a run. I can train. I know what benefits these things have for me. And as I was going through my own moments, I was like, I don't think that anyone queer has this. Like anyone has been given that ability to be there for themselves and understand that by nourishing yourself and keeping yourself active, it's a radical act. And implementing that into our subconscious was something that I had a vested interest in doing.
We've covered kind of exercise as a topic in a previous episode, but did you find the switch as you got older? Was the move to London a bit of a catalyst in that as well, or was it a longer term thing?
I think that I was galvanized to activate my body and fitness to because of the unrealistic expectations about body image in the queer community. I would take a class because I was like, I need to get active, I need to get skinny, I need to get rid of the pizza I ate last night. Mm. And it wasn't until I started working with people like Margaret Pope and all the trainers at Body Studio who were ex-Olympians, I realized that it actually fitness goes above and beyond that. It's about mastering a technique, understanding how your body works, being able to understand that your body is not just muscle and bone and fat. It's muscle, bone, fat, tissue, fascia, and like blood circulation and movement and mindfulness and vibration. And then you have the whole Ayurvedic side of it. It's like there's so many different layers to it. And I think my spirituality and physical fitness sort of merged in a really beautiful way. Before that, I couldn't even put myself on a field or a basketball court. I'd always break an arm. I've broken my arm 3 times.
Stop.
One was in football, soccer. One was in basketball. And one was in a game of Mercy.
What's Mercy?
You know when you like hold your friend's hands and then you like bend them until they... till the other person yells Mercy. Well, I just didn't say Mercy. Wow. So that's how the left hand got broken. So sports for me at a young age was just never the one. I was always like trying to push my body to its like upper limit, not able to understand that I just didn't have the foundation in order to do that. Next thing you know, I've tripped over my dangly legs and I'm in hospital with a cast for the summer.
So a couple of our guests have spoken very highly of Hungama, which has been described as an Indian Studio 54. Why did you feel it was important to launch this back in 2016?
So Hungama's genesis came from me spending 5 or 6 years in fashion and art. I curated a fashion exhibition in 2010 called Nailphilia, which is now considered the world's first of its kind. But it was an exhibition of nail art. So it was a beauty exhibition looking at fashion and art. And then I started working with fashion designers in East London. And by doing that, you end up subscribing to like the world of fashion and the world of art. I was wearing like turtlenecks at art galleries, drinking Prosecco and talking about Damien Hirst and whether or not he's a legitimate artist. I was in the fashion world, like lagging my way to the front row, just trying to pretend that I knew everyone, even though I knew that no one knew who I was. And I was deeply saddened about that because I had no place in the fashion industry. And everyone there is so sycophantic that no one really likes themselves anyways. And then there's the gay community, where I was in East London, where all of these people come together to drink, and it's like a pissing contest as to who's more popular and who's worked closer to McQueen or who's worked closer to Love magazine. And I literally just could not be fucked with all of it. So I just got to a point where one day someone said something to me the wrong way, and I left feeling devastated. And so I walked home, and when I woke up, I woke up in the morning, and all I had playing, from what I remember, was Bollywood music. And I was like, wow. No one's given me access to that here. Mm. Bollywood music is something that I grew up with in Canada. I know the name of every single song, every single album, all the actors and actresses. And I was at a point where I was like, I'm going to bring that back here because I need it. Because by asking myself where it was, I realized how much of it was missing. Mm. I didn't know anyone else who was South Asian and gay. I didn't know anyone else who was South Asian and gay in East London. And I didn't know anyone who was doing anything ethnic in the pubs and clubs that we go to in London. So like the Glory or Superstore. So I just went up to the Glory and said, I'm going to throw a Bollywood hip hop night. Didn't even know how to DJ. Went to a queer club night that exists that was Asian called Club Kali. Mm. Wasn't my cup of tea. I loved the music, but I just didn't really feel like it embodied what I was about. And so I basically decided to bring that into my realm. So take the Bollywood music and the nuances of what I knew in PR and art and culture and bring it into a queer space and create a cultural moment. And when we did it, I didn't know anyone who was Asian. The only people who were Asian who read about it on Time Out and stuff came. But then also everyone I knew was in fashion and art. So it just, there was like loads of stylists and photographers and models and fashionistas. And it just became this like moment where we're like, whoa, everyone in fashion and art are celebrating a culture. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time that cultural appreciation existed for queer people. And I'm not saying that other nights didn't exist, because like I think Pussy Palace was creating an amazing safe space for queer, non-binary, and trans people of color. And like other nights did exist. But in that moment, it was a celebration of creativity and people celebrating their creativity under the umbrella of Bollywood.
Was it that you just did a set at Mighty Hoopla?
Yeah, we did a set at Mighty Hoopla, and then we did an unofficial after party where it was the return of Hungama, because we haven't done it since 2020. The last one we did was in February 2020 at the Standard. I mean, that was just more of a DJ set as well, at a pub, which was really fun. It was crazy. We had a lot of people show up that I didn't expect, and like Vinegar Strokes showed up, and it was just a big laugh. People were jumping on the stage. Everyone was dressed in saris and outfits, and like people were smiling and like hugging, and it felt like a reunion. And what I did differently this time was that I paid for complimentary drinks for the first couple of hours, because I felt like we'd all suffered enough, and it wasn't about me making a profit or the night making a profit. It was about allowing people to celebrate the fact that they made it through.
Mm-hmm. So just to shift gears a little bit, on Instagram recently we saw your conversation series, The Women Who Built Me. How was this process for you in revisiting the roles these women had or still have in your life?
I've been really blessed to have met some incredible women who have shaped me. And during lockdown I was living by myself, and it was post Flower Fight, which was weird because I thought my life would change in a direction that would be more global and on a platform, but the world knew what I was doing on that show, but I was in this little apartment in Victoria Park Road by myself. And I was like, how am I going to remember everything that's happened and take stock? And I was like, oh, I'll just do a little Instagram conversation because I can't see them. And they're so inspiring that I'll just do like a 10 to 15 minute conversation. And so I just wrote down like the 6 or 7 women that built me. And just did that. And I think it was really eye-opening. There were a lot of people who didn't know that I knew them. Mm. B, didn't know that they helped me in these really powerful ways. And C, now it's like an artifact of like my life. And so we had some incredible people. We had Rose McGowan, who started the Me Too movement. Beatrice Hodgkin, who's the deputy editor of the Financial Times, How to Spend It. Samantha Roddick, who is an activist, and her mum infamously started the body shop. Sue Marsh, who's the first ever nail technician to create creative nails and was working with Alexander McQueen, and now has moved into lashes and works with clients like Naomi Campbell and Kate Moss. And these are all people I accidentally met. Like, it was crazy. Even Sam Obernick, who's infamous for the song Just Won't Do, that everyone has danced to. Met her randomly, and she gave me therapy. Like, sometimes I'm like, my life is just so random that I'm like,
priceless.
Yeah. It was really nice. It was really nice, though, because there were a lot of people who saw the flower fight and didn't know what my next move would be. Mm. And most people would assume that it would be a flower sculpture somewhere. But I know that I can do better than that, and that's by creating more obscene lateral culture.
Yeah.
And I think also, because your career is so rich in that you've been in so many different arenas, that you've been able to touch base with all these different amazing people and absorb a lot of different stories and help you grow in different ways as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I entered these rooms and unapologetically met these people. And then as I started to learn about our differences and our privileges and our disadvantaged disposition, that's when I started to find my voice. When mm-hmm. I found my voice, I started to fight, and these people could see my growth and my trajectory, and they stand behind me. So I just feel like it's really important in this day and age to celebrate the future of diversity by having these conversations.
Mm. Obviously, as you've not got enough going on, we understand you've just finished filming The Big Proud Party Agency for BBC Three. How was that experience?
I was really blessed and excited when I got a phone call from Alley Cat's TV, who said, "We saw your work in Hangama and we love what you did on The Flower Fight. Would you be interested in embarking on this show with us?" And I was like, "Fuck yeah." I was like, an opportunity to be a queer person of color on BBC Three as a host is incredible. Post-pandemic, like this, there's never been a better reason to throw parties for queer people who mm-hmm. deserve it. And so we have been filming since July, and we're still not finished. Oh, like, wow. We still have a couple more episodes to finish, and it's being shot non-linearly, and we're having to have loads of protocol because we're not having parties with 10 or 15 people. There are hundreds of people. Mm. And it's a situation where we started doing that when lockdown hadn't lifted. So we had to separate it and spread it all out and just roll with the punches. It's great, though. I really hope that people love it. I really hope that people enjoy the experience, even though it'll be a bit odd to see party planning during COVID, referencing COVID. But it should be a laugh. It should be really stupid. I'm completely stupid on it. And I think the reason is because on The Flower Fight, I was just in dungarees, like with my fucking whole entire outfit full of mud, with like grass in my shoes, hustling to win.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, this is a chance where I get to dress up, show people what I'm like, show people art and fashion and culture, and really get to know me. But then I've just kind of turned into a twat as well.
We actually had one of the yoga teachers, I believe, from NDY on at the very start of season 2
mm-hmm.
in our Does Exercise Really Matter episode, Natalie Armitage.
Yes, I actually think that's how I came across Natalie originally, maybe through the NDY Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how all these things link up, isn't it?
Oh.
So when you're done with this, if you want to have a little scroll back and go and listen to Does Exercise Really Matter?
Yeah, thanks so much, Ryan, for sitting down with us. We really, really appreciate it. And thank you for your patience while we managed to scramble the episode together, finally.
So if you want to give Ryan a follow on Instagram, his at is at Ryan Lange. As always, we'll put this on our website, bottomingpodcast.com, and on the episode notes as well. But yeah, thank you so much, Ryan. It was an absolute joy.
Slightly more solemn note, our friend Charlie Craggs was assaulted in London last week. She was spat on and had drink thrown on her on the tube. But luckily she recorded everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she had the bravery to chase after him, the guy, to get him his face recorded on camera. It was shared everywhere. And luckily, I think they found the person that did it. But she's set up a GoFundMe to raise money for free self-defense classes for trans people, I think it's already got like £12,000.
Yeah,
raised.
I think within the space of 24 hours, it's got to about 12K, which is just incredible. Yeah, we spoke to Charlie last summer for one of our Pride episodes, and it was just, it's been amazing to get to know her since then, and even before then. So this, is a particularly a big ask if you can go and, well, again, we'll put the GoFundMe link in our episode notes and on the bio and across socials and things. But if you can just give as much or as little as you can, because it's sadly very, very needed, I think more than ever at this point. So check that link out, and if you can, give a little or a lot. Before we're done, before we finish this up, we're going to give you, if you're gagging for it, your favourite thing of the week.
Gorgeous. I can go first.
Okay.
I met up with our friend Alice, and we went to Rochelle Canteen in Shoreditch. It was a belated birthday lunch for me. And yeah, delicious food, had a couple of wines, and then had a stroll around. Loved it.
Lovely.
Thank you, Alice.
Oh, yeah, I love you, Alice.
Yeah, what's yours?
I'll be honest, mine was this delivery of the new drawers that I got.
Do you want to do a show off?
I don't know if you'll be able to see them.
Show us your drawers.
Get me drawers out. Here you go. It's I can't really show you, but it's there behind me. It's like an olive green, a new nice olive green set of drawers, big drawers to put all my bits in.
We can put the link on the website so that you can buy it if you want. Discount code
it's
bottoming.
Dead expensive company. You wouldn't know it.
I think it's pronounced IKEA.
So yeah, I, as I mentioned before, just have enjoyed topping my room around and getting that I really needed. I've already mentioned Liverpool, that would have been the highlight, team and granddad and my mum, my sister, but
a chest of drawers.
A chest of drawers.
Jesus.
So yeah.
That's everything. That's all we've got.
That is your lot. That's what you're getting this week.
Yeah. If you enjoyed it, please give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We really appreciate it. We've been stuck on 59 reviews for ages.
If you can get us up to 69, that'd be a joy. If 10 of yous listening can go and do that, that'd be dead sexy. Dead gorgeous and dead sexy.
I mean, interesting number as well.
It's just 10 more can do it. Go on.
Go on.
If you don't want to give us a 5-star rating for that dead gorgeous, dead sexy Scouse accent, then I don't know what more we need to do, to be honest.
Well, there's a few things.
But thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you again to Ryan for chatting with us. And thank you, Brendan, just for being here. See you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, see you then. You are doing amazing, sweetie.
You are doing so amazing, sweetie. Bye.
Bye.